You are now tuned in to Utopia Radio. What's going on, guys and gals? This is DJ C Smooth on Utopia Radio, number one on the charts and number one in your hearts. Today in the studio, we have penal experts Stella Frank and Acacia Handel, who'll teach us a little bit about the deviance of a penal colony.
Today we will discuss two heterotopias of deviation, an 18th century penal colony in New South Wales and a modern day maximum security prison in Norway, because we believe that the way social deviance is managed in these spaces exposes a great deal about the fundamental ideologies driving the societies in which they exist. We will begin by examining penal colonies in New South Wales and Botany Bay in the 18th century, which pushed the boundaries of lawlessness within punishment. First, some historical context. In 1785, after the American Revolution abolished the shipment of convicts to North American colonies, the British House of Commons discovered Botany Bay as an opportunistic settlement to enable the continuation of utilizing exile as legal punishment. They planned to ship convicts to the island to manage crops and livestock and to govern themselves, only to be checked in on occasionally. The legality of Botany Bay was a logistical nightmare, as the convicts were barred from serving on a jury, thus any criminal trials occurring on the island were held under an improvised system. This colony is only one of several penal colonies that operated entirely outside of legal boundaries, colonies that took the law into their own hands, often treating convicts as slaves. Penal colonies, like those in Botany Bay, are reminiscent of Foucault's concept of the heterotopia. A heterotopia is a geographical area that functions under non-hegemonic conditions. They are both physical and mental spaces that function to contain otherness. Foucault lists several possible heterotopias, including the crisis heterotopia, which is a separate space such as a hotel room or a boarding school, and the heterotopia of deviation, where we place individuals who deviate from societal norms such as hospitals, asylums, or prisons. He explains that the crisis heterotopia is being replaced by the heterotopia of deviation. The penal colony at Botany Bay is simultaneously both. It is made up of convicts sent as punishment for their crime. Their crimes ranged from stealing to murder, yet despite this discrepancy, the uniform punishment was exile. Once on the island, the convicts were treated as slaves, and the colony operated entirely outside of the confines of the law. This extra-legal structure is an example of Foucault's heterotopia. The penal colony at Botany Bay was intended to permanently warehouse individuals convicted of crimes and sequester them away from society, regardless of the severity of their misdeeds.
Environment is important, and it is a new prison, and we have a lot of forest here, new buildings, good facilities, and that is important. It is important to treat people with dignity and respect, even if they are criminals.
In contrast, some sites for containing those who partake in deviant behavior are grounded in a belief in reform and rehabilitation instead of deterrence and incapacitation. In many contemporary societies, there is a marked gap between the rehabilitative rhetoric employed to discuss the purpose of punishment and the conditions actually faced by those enmeshed within the criminal justice system. As such, I will be focusing on the penal system in Norway, where the commitment to rehabilitative correction is not merely rhetorical. In particular, we will be examining Halden Fengsel, a maximum security prison 2 hours outside of Oslo. Norway's criminal justice system stands in stark contrast with that of the United States, which is infamous for its exceedingly high incarceration rates, the culture of violence and degradation within its jails and prisons, and the severe racial and economic disparities in its policing and sentencing. While the United States locks away 700 out of every 100,000 of its residents, Norway incarcerates only 75 per 100,000 residents. Additionally, Norway abolished the death penalty in 1902 and banned life sentences in 1981. Following these major strides, Norway's correctional service underwent two major transformations in 1998 and 2007 at the behest of the country's Ministry of Justice, which redesigned the goals and strategies of its prison system around the principles of rehabilitation and reintegration. Now, in order to reduce recidivism rates and promote the successful reintegration of inmates back into society, the Norwegian Correctional Service works closely with other government agencies to ensure that each incarcerated individual obtains a job, a home, and adequate social and emotional support upon release from prison. Halden was the first prison built following the second major overhauling of Norway's correctional service in 2007, and so the design of the facility reflects this commitment to the holistic rehabilitation of inmates. At Halden, despite the fact that almost half of the prison's 251 inmates are incarcerated for violent crimes, they are granted a great deal of trust and autonomy. Inmates are generally allowed to move freely throughout the facility, and many spaces in the prison, including classrooms, workshops, and cells, are not monitored with surveillance cameras. To make the prison feel less confining, the buildings use safety glass instead of traditional prison bars, and the facilities offer many shared spaces to encourage sociality and cooperation amongst the inmates. Furthermore, those who designed Halden viewed nature as an integral component of rehabilitation, so the prison is separated from the farmland that surrounds it by dense blueberry woods. Halden's facilities are spread widely throughout the site, thus necessitating that inmates spend time outside as they traverse the routes between their many daily activities. Even within the confines of the prison itself, the inmates' relationship with and access to the natural world is prioritized. Large windows throughout the prison cells ensure that the cells are filled with ample natural light, and the inmates have expansive views of the landscape that surrounds them. Halden's architects ensured that the inmates would have this physical and visual access to the landscape, not only because nature is thought to have soothing and rehabilitative qualities, but also because they believed that viewing seasonal changes in nature would help the inmates stay in tune with the passage of time while they were sequestered away from the rest of society. Yet Halden's commitment to the rehabilitative ideal is balanced with a concurrent emphasis on detention and punishment, and the prison's architects tried to weave these two divergent responsibilities together within the design of the space. While the interior of Halden is largely devoid of any traditional security architecture, the exterior of the facility is surrounded by an enormous wall, which is visible from nearly every part of the prison. The scale of Halden's buildings is intentionally small, with the tallest building being only two stories high, in order to amplify the looming presence of the prison wall and underscore Halden's function as not only a site for rehabilitation, but for punishment as well.
Every inmate in Norwegian prison are going back to the society, everyone. We don't have a life sentence in Norway. So everyone will go back to the community. And what type of person do you want to have back as your neighbor? Do you want people who are angry, or you want people who are rehabilitated? We are the world. We are the children.
There's a choice we're making. We're saying.